be afraid. I bring you tidings of comfort and joy. Okay, maybe not so comfort, but whatever. Okay, now I can see that some of you do not think that I'm an angel. The Baptists would have no trouble believing it. But you Methodists, I hear you have some faith issues. So I guess I'm going to have to prove it to you. Now, I was thinking I could dazzle you with some spellbinding stories about up there. If any of you have read your most excellent local newspaper, you probably know that Tammy Faye Baker passed on Friday. I'm so looking forward to the makeup classes she's going to give. I could tell you about stuff like recently when Jerry Falwell and Truman Capote mistakenly got put in the same conga line. But hey, you know, what happens in heaven stays in heaven. So I've decided to wow you with my ESPN, extrasensory perception in the netherworld. So here goes. Somewhere out here, unto this day a child was born. Actually, many, 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 many days ago, a child was born. And it's her birthday today. Who could it be? Oh, I think I'm getting hot close. Happy birthday, Cheryl. May your light shine forever. And thank you for all that you do for this church. And by the way, I was told to tell you something. Oh, yeah, there it is. Go and sin no more. Ha! Thank you, thank you, thank you. So now you believe me, huh? Okay. Actually, I have some good news and some bad news for you. The good news is there really is an up there. The bad news is what you see is what you get. Now, I was kind of hoping that when I got zapped up there, I would, you know, like show up looking more like Vanna White than Rosie O'Donnell. You, who can walk on water, would it have been too much to ask for a few more inches here and a few less inches here? But, hey, it's not about me. Actually, it is a little bit. Because, you see, your pastor asked me to come speak to you this morning, which I guess proves that nobody is perfect. She wanted me to tell you about how when I first took that off-ramp on the highway to heaven, I did what most smart people do. I made a last will and testament. And I am so glad I did. I mean, there was no way I was going to let my sister-in-law get my quilt collection. When my nephew was born, I sent a beautiful baby quilt to them. It was just gorgeous. And I went to visit a few years later. The dog was using my quilt. Now, as for my brother, he would take my Waterford goblets and use them for root beer floats. And they'd probably sell my house in North Park and buy a pickup and a double wide, if you know what I mean. Ah, but I stopped that. My last will and testament took care of that faster than Britney Spears can say rehab. Now, as for my mother's pearls, I still have them. You know, but lately I've been thinking. I'm thinking maybe I should have dwelled a little less on my valuables and more on sharing my values. You see, last wills and testaments aren't the only kind of wills we can write. There's also something called an ethical will. An ethical will is a document that tells people what you treasure. And when you think about it, that's more important than your treasures. An ethical will passes on your spiritual legacy. It's a testament of what you believed, why you behaved the way you did, and it can also contain the stories of your life and of your ancestors' lives that can be kept forever as a reminder of where we've come from so that they may know where they're going. Back when I was still working for a living, I wrote a story about ethical wills. The idea for the story came from a TV show I was watching one night where one of the main characters in the show died and left behind an ethical will. I had never heard of that before, but as I checked into it, I came across a book titled So That Your Values Live On. What made it even better was that it was written by a former local rabbi named Jack Reimer. Hallelujah, a local angle. So, as I read the book, I found that Rabbi Reimer tells us that the most precious thing we leave behind when we die is not our property, it is our values and our beliefs. And yet, you know, when we think about wills, we usually think of a legal document intended to divide up our property and provide financial security to heirs. But ethical wills seek to bequeath a more powerful inheritance. And done correctly, he says, they can be priceless windows into the souls of those who write them. And as it turns out, ethical wills are part of an ancient tradition going all the way back to the Hebrew Scriptures. Think of what Micah wrote in the 8th verse of the 6th chapter. God has told you what he wants from you, and this is all it is: to be fair, to be just, to be merciful, and to walk humbly with your Lord. Wow. The Old Testament, the New Testament, they're both filled with the sum totals of what leaders and prophets and even a Messiah learned in life. Remember what Pastor April said last Sunday? The Bible is not shy in telling us how to live our lives. So you might say that the Bible is the original ethical will. You know, it's a very interesting book. You should read it sometime. As for Rabbi Reimer's book, it shows us some more recent ethical wills. There is one from the 1970s in which an 83-year-old man tells his children and his grandchildren how important charity has been to him and how he hopes they too will embrace the spirit of giving. Above all, the man writes, don't wait until they ask you. That is humiliating. One of my favorites comes from a mother in a death camp during the Holocaust who is writing an ethical will for her children. Now, there are two miracles going on here. One is that the message actually made it to her children, who had been secreted away to live with relatives in America. The other miracle is what this woman chose to write about in the face of such horror. Be just and honest. And under normal circumstances, this is so easy, she wrote. Know how to appreciate your good fortune and use it not for yourselves alone, but for others, both near and distant. And do not mourn us with tears and words, but with deeds. Now, there can be a downside to ethical wills. Rabbi Reimer warns us that they can do harm, especially if they are created from a desire to control rather than to share. Then they become grudges from the grave, and they are not ethical at all. One example that he includes in his book goes on for 50 pages. It is filled with rebukes and self-pity. The father tells his son how much he's done for him and how hard he's worked for him. And he chastises his son for neglecting his studies, for having bad handwriting. It's a wonder the son didn't jump out the window before getting to the end. Another one from someone I've nicknamed Daddy Dearest actually numbered every single point he wanted to make. And wow, did this daddy dearest have a problem with the opposite sex. He writes to his son, "Do not be acquainted, and not to mention closer relationships, with women. Be polite and well-mannered toward them. For the rest, as far as possible, keep your distance. Consider them like sharp, pointed toys, with which you can play only occasionally, and then with the greatest of care." Daddy Dearest also didn't care for another category of people. He writes, "Never have any contact with missionaries. Consider them only as self-seeking cheats or as ranting visionaries." Who was it that said always leave them laughing? For the most part, however, ethical wills can be wonderful keepsakes. If you're having trouble thinking about how you do one, you can write it like a letter. You can add it like a codicil that you can put with your regular last will and testament. In her Pulitzer Prize-winning book, Gilead, Marilyn Robinson tells the story of a Congregationalist minister who is dying of heart disease. He begins to write a journal for his young son so his son can read it when he is older. As the journal takes shape, it becomes like a lovely prayer filled with faith and with failures, dreams and joys, looking back and looking ahead for his son's future. In this journal are family stories. The minister tells of his dear grandfather, a saintly man for whom the glass was always half full. He gives this example. When someone remarked in his hearing that he had lost an eye in the Civil War, he said, "I prefer to remember that I have kept one." I love Gilead because it speaks so beautifully about God and holiness without being preachy. The minister writes at one point, "One great benefit of a religious vocation is that it helps you concentrate. It gives you a good basic sense of what is being asked of you and also what you might as well ignore. If I have any wisdom to offer, this is a fair part of it. Wisdom to offer so that our values live on." Nowadays, of course, everything under the sun is on the cyberspace, so I wasn't surprised to discover that there is a website devoted exclusively to ethical wills. And it has a very clever address, www.ethicalwills.com. The site walks you through various approaches on how to write an ethical will. It even gives you several reasons on why to do an ethical will. One of those reasons, it says, is it helps you come to grips with your own mortality. That made me think of the character in the Woody Allen movie, Love and Death, when he begins to muse about his own inevitable end. "There are worse things in life than death," the character says. If you've ever spent an evening with an insurance salesman, you know what I mean. The key is to not think of death as an end, but as more of a very effective way to cut down on your expenses. So what will you write? Maybe you'll be like this minister and you'll talk about giving faith a fighting chance. Maybe you'll want to give more practical advice, like beware of going on hunting trips with the Vice President of the United States. You might even want to talk about the environment. Global warming is real, you know. I heard it on Late Night with David Letterman. He said that scientists are reporting that by the year 2050, we will be out of party ice. Still, you know, if you doubt, you cannot do it. If you're still saying, "Well, that's nice, Angel, but I wouldn't know how to begin," maybe PBUMC can help. You never know. Hi, what's your name?
Mary.
Do you come here often?
Well, I try to.
Well, okay. I bet you know somebody who could help teach people how to write ethical wills. Yeah, think about it. All right, see? We may have something going here. A legacy of your own. Now, if I were to have written an ethical will, I think I would have liked to have shared parables of my kin. I probably would have told them about my great uncle Claudie. Claudie is a redneck iron worker who wore a hat that said, "Kill them all and let God sort them out." His oldest son, Johnny Glenn, moved to San Francisco and became a flight attendant. He also came down with AIDS. And when he had no place else to go, John went home. His father welcomed him with hugs. He built John a place to call his home behind the family house. And when John grew weak, he built wheelchair ramps all around the property. Claude still went to his lodge on Friday nights for the Friday night fish fries. Only he told people there that if they had anything to say about his son, they were going to have to go through him first. I may also have told about a lunch I had with David Noel Friedman one beautiful sunny afternoon in La Jolla. Dr. Friedman teaches biblical history at UCSD and has written or edited more than 350 books. He's in his 80s now, and he admits to having some short-term memory loss. But he says, you know, that's okay. It's a lot like forgiveness, he says, or at least like what forgiveness ought to be like. You just can't remember what it is that happened. So there you have it. Ethical wills, values, not just valuables. You can write it like a journal. You can write it like a statement. Uh-oh. Hold on. That's the lunch bell. It's Sunday dinner today, and I don't want to miss it. We're having angel hair pasta, angel food cake, and the Christian brothers are bringing the wine. So, oh, one more thing. I almost forgot. There's a teeny weeny, eeny weeny, eeny catch when it comes to ethical wills. If you're going to talk the talk, you may want to try walking the walk. And you know, wouldn't that be heavenly?
Lord, we all want to be better Christians. We thank you for sending us the message to learn about our ethics, knowing that it's not about ourselves, but it's about what you have given us and what we can give back to the world. We thank you for all that you have given us, the sunny day, the warmth of the sun, the blue skies, the birds that sing. I ask that you bless this church on all its missions that it has, giving to the homeless, covering those who have needs, and sharing the gift that we have with them. I ask that you bless the pastor as she is on retreat, learning more about you and what she can give to us here at the congregation. But Lord, most of all, I thank you for the words you have given us as we all sing and say this prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.